For Armenians throughout Armenia, the medical system is either not readily available or attainable when there is a medical need. Beyond access, knowledge of healthcare-related habits is scarce. Through groups like MedAid Armenia and the important work of people like our guest, Dr. Krikor Deramaryan, the hope is to understand the medical needs of the people of Armenia and move them forward.
And now, part two of our interview with Dr. Deramaryan.
So, you know, you talk about the transitions that you've made in the few years that you've gone to Armenia and done this. But what do you see, where do you see the Armenian medical landscape in, let's say, the next 5 to 10 years? You're saying that there is a lot of work being done right now for educating and helping the emergency process become more efficient. So where do you see that going in the future?
Well, where do I see it? This is going to be an educated guess, because there's so much being done, so many efforts on different levels. Everything from physicians like myself who have been committed to going and volunteering their time there, literally. I know a pediatrician who's retired and is in Armenia 6 months out of the year running clinic, to a level of colleagues who are trying to do a national level transformation in the medical system. Ministry of Health trying to create more formalized structure and licensing and board certification, whatnot. So taking all these in, where do I see it going? I see it going, hopefully, to a place that's going to go through some growth pains and processes, but one that's going to have tertiary level care available to the general population. One that's going to be focused and succeed in providing primary care. Now, one would think, so primary care should be pretty easy. Well, it's a challenge here in the States, I'll tell you this. And then in Armenia, as a lot of the resources being funneled into the tertiary, there's very little going to the primary care. And that's something that's being worked on significantly to improve. Because your goal is to really not need tertiary care. If you truly want to improve the health of the country, you want to really strengthen the primary care. So I really see an effort that will succeed in providing preventive care and lifestyle medicine to improve the lifespan and quality of life for the population, where kids and adults will have access to healthcare and preventive intervention, be it in Yerevan, be it in the outskirts of Yerevan, or in the villages, any part of the country. They have attempted to put in a national electronic medical records, which will hopefully allow access to, you know, data, access to, you know, the records where they can follow these patients long term. And I really see that going. And then there's so many things in the works, medical technology wise. For example, it's been years they've been there. The Armenian Bone Marrow Registry has done some amazing work in Armenia and abroad. So I really do see in Armenia, next 5-10 years, having a what I would call health security. In the sense that someone, let's say, just moved to Armenia, they can know that their healthcare will be taken care of. Not when they have an accident or a heart attack. They'll be taken care of in a preventive and maintaining quality of health. That's what I see.
Yeah, that's great. And that's incredible that you're part of that process in some way, going to Armenia and taking others to Armenia. And really, you took what was a mission and made it into a program. So, I know you've been, the trip has evolved into a program. And what are you looking forward to most this year? Or what do you have planned for this MedAid trip this summer?
So this year, we've kind of started to crystallize our efforts. So in the last 3-4 years, it's been a lot more discovery. As we did our hands-on what we could, we've learned quite a bit, and we still have a lot to learn. So we're breaking down this year into three focuses. One is continuing our care for the kids, being Debi Arach, Roranj, different locations that Paros helps out the families and the kids. That's standard. We will do that. Second thing is identifying an opportunity where we can really make a big difference and impact. And the polyclinic in Nor Hagen is one. They are amazingly receptive. The location is just prime for really impactful help. Resources there are very limited, but the desire to do is, you know, immense. They, for example, have an X-ray machine that probably the Smithsonian would turn down. I mean, this thing is arcane from the Soviet era. They have some basic, you know, lab tech equipment, but a pediatrician doesn't have an otoscope to look at the ears. And there are stories behind that. So to just give them basic stuff to help them be able to deliver more quality of care more immediately. What does immediately mean? So if a patient needs an X-ray, the quality X-ray is so poor, they can't quite make out what they need to send to Yerevan. So what does this do? It creates cost for the patient, cost for the clinic, and overall, it's inefficient. Where if they had a decent X-ray machine, they can identify the problem, treat it, take care of it right there and then, and now you can deliver true care. Otoscope, looking at a kid's ear. I witnessed a visit with a child who had ear pain, and the pediatrician had to refer the child to a head and neck doctor to look at the ear. Unfathomable here in the U.S. That's the best she can do. I really appreciated how she worked around that, really using evidence-based medicine standards on how ear infections are treated, giving anticipatory guidance, and everything she could do except look at the ear. So imagine she could look in the ear and say, oh, you have an ear infection or you don't, because ear pain doesn't mean you have an ear infection. It would save the parents time. It would save resources and just simple, basic equipment. So if we can upgrade their equipment in a simple, basic way, we can really help elevate the quality of care and access to their catchment. And I believe they're going to try to increase the catchment area. That will be very impactful. And the third part that is really a big project is sometimes you have to identify opportunities where you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You have to find a door in instead of creating a new building. And I think that door in for us identified was that ambulance residency. So emergency medical services in Armenia are they're trying to create a whole system. But we thought, wait a minute, there's already this, you know, ambulance residency program. A, it's familiar to them. So it's not something new they're starting. So if we can walk in there, use that opportunity, create a program, and gradually phase in the discipline of emergency medicine, I think we'll get much further. So we've written kind of a position paper, an abstract. The emergency medical doctor that went with us, Dr. Sylvie Kotikian. So we wrote this position paper together. I have had various colleagues look at it, and we've had the opportunity to connect with someone who can help us with this. And we're very optimistic that we can start something. I don't know where we'll go, but I think start something. And that's our hope for this year.
That's incredible. And I think having that mindset of you're doing something, you're there, you're starting something is a beautiful sentiment. And it's something that I imagine you would tell to someone who is on the fence about coming on the trip. Is there something, if there's somebody listening right now who is considering joining the trip, maybe they're pre-med or they're in the medical field, what would you say to them?
Oh, a lot. So let me range it from the pre-med to the medical student, to the residency doctor, to someone various stages of their career. So the pre-med, I would say, if you really want to have understanding of medicine, the practice of medicine, in its most fundamental passions, delivering care, it is a unique opportunity that you will have a hard time getting anywhere else. You will understand what delivering care is, be it the challenges and all those things. To the medical student, you're going through your training in medicine. This will be your opportunity for clinical hands-on type experience, truly get first-hand experience. To the resident, you've had sufficient experience to be able to deliver care. You can have care that you are delivering. So I will be there, but there is not a whole team of attendings behind you. So you will have firsthand, and you're up front on the field doing this. To the physician who's already practicing, we go through various phases in our career of differentiating between work and our passion of our care. I think work is a four-letter word, so I hate to use that word. So kind of reconnecting with our purpose in medicine, why we went to medicine, and to really, disconnect from the bureaucracy or the whatever else that really kind of bogs you down delivering care here. To go there and reconnect with your passion in medicine is amazing. You will truly help out people who need care, who cannot get it anywhere else. You will probably be able to contribute in ways that are going to be impactful. The way I look at it, and maybe resonates with physicians out there, is what I do, I may not see the result. My kids would, my grandkids would. And that's okay. You're planting trees that you may not see the shades. And that's kind of what you're doing. So that one kid that you took care of, that one person you helped out, who knows where they'll go, but you made that difference for them. So to go there and do that where they could not get the care, that would be huge.
That really is amazing. Are there, in addition to physicians, the trip is opened up to other healthcare professionals. What do you hope to have secured this year on our team?
So absolutely. As physicians ourselves, we can't run the clinics. So we need a whole staff, support staff to help out. So we've had volunteers, everything from my wife and kids, your wife as well, Peter. And we've had just regular, everyday people who just want to come and help. And just got to have that passion. Doesn't matter what your background is. We can give you some basic, direction on what to do and help out. To, let's say, someone who can do screenings, be it the ACEs program screenings. So we had some pre-med students who came in. We had a pre-med student who had EMT training, who came in, so had some further skill set and knowledge on healthcare. So all spectrums of it, anything in the healthcare that you have been involved in, you can probably come and contribute because there is a huge need. And then in that contribution will help us develop our program further.
If it's okay, I'd like to change directions a bit. A couple of years ago, you dragged part of our team to a place to visit Robin the Robot. And I think subsequently you've become a bit involved in that. Could you tell us what Robin the Robot is and what's going on with that?
Absolutely. So this is one of those things that I stumbled on, actually. Didn't really see this in the hospital or in a medical context. I was hanging out in Mammoth Mountain with a friend of mine and one of his buddies. He kind of told me about this. So Robin the Robot is actually a very remarkable robot. It's a medical robot. I'm going to put this in simple terms. So this robot helps deliver care through AI and through an operator that is trained in child life, who's a therapist, who's a developmental specialist, who's a social worker, who basically behind the scenes mends this robot. And this robot goes around engaging kids. So if you look up Robin the Robot, you'll see this kind of cute white, maybe about, what is it, about 4 feet tall, something like that. Sorry if I'm measurements are off, but it's a cute little robot. The reason it has to be cute because it's a lot more receptive to kids. When they engage, as opposed to a white coat walking in, it could be very scary. That's why I never wear white coats. But even then, when a doctor walks in, they know you from a mile away. So when the Robin robot walks in or strolls in, rolls in, the kids love engaging with a robot. So it decreases their anxiety levels. It helps the physicians deliver their care for the child, whether it be procedures, whether it be convincing to take medications, engaging with education, all these different things. The AI part is actually incredible and developing on a regular basis. Allows the robot to engage with the kids in play, whatnot, and not necessarily needing an operator to be, you know, engaged with the child. So you can see a lot of robots out there. There's a dozen of them, but it's more of just a robot. This Robin robot is a lot more. Actually, it was Time Magazine, I think 2022, Robin robot was named one of the top 10 inventions of the year. So Time Magazine has identified as one of the top 10 inventions of the year. You can imagine how significant this is. I interacted with a robot in Armenia. Anyone that I have introduced to the robot, be it colleagues that I practice with, down to pre-med students, are just blown away, enamored by what this robot can do. It's truly amazing. And I've been trying to help introduce the robot in Southern California, Kaiser, to really, you know, benefit everyone. You know, the medical system, and our care delivery, there are so many opportunities. We can do so much in preventive care, be it with the kids, you know, lifestyle, education, all those things, to in the hospital, and help this amazing invention that was originated in Armenia to succeed. So that's where we are.
That's so cool. Does it, I can't remember, does it speak Armenian or English or both?
It can speak any language you want, but it speaks Armenian and it speaks English at this point through the AI. But I believe when I asked about that, they said they can generate translations, whether it be Spanish or whatnot, to be able to speak whatever language the patient speaks. So in Armenia, I saw the robot speaking Armenian, and then spoke English to us, which is amazing. So those two it has down pat, no problem at all.
That's amazing. So your ultimate goal would be what?
Wow.
Robot.
You know, what's Bill Gates' ultimate goal? A PC on every desktop. Imagine Robin Robot in every hospital and clinic. That would be the dream.
Wow, that's so cool. That's so cool. So we have a signature question that we always ask at the end of every episode. And typically it's Sophia asking it, but I'm going to jump in and ask it this time, if that's okay. So what can people do to get involved? That's the key. You know, we would hope that somebody listening, this might prompt some thought or some idea. So, you know, what would you tell people that want to, what can people do to get involved?
What can they do? They can call us, they can call you, provide the information, go through powersfoundation.com, I guess, if I'm saying this correctly, and just send a message to Peter that you'd like to get involved. And really, wherever your skill set is, you can make a difference. The only thing you need is passion and the want, need to be engaged in it. This is not a passive program. This is not one of just people sitting on the table giving ideas. This is where people are going in. I mean, everyone pays for their way there. You know, there's no one paying for what we do. But the pay I get is a satisfaction that is priceless. And that is a satisfaction that carries me all year. So anyone who wants to find that satisfaction, And what you can do, whatever you can, you may. So this, you know, make a distinction in there. Whatever you can do, you may do. And we will find a way to help you do that. Peter, gosh, I think Peter can make anything happen. Almost, I think, right? I'm still trying to wait for the thing he can't do. But if you're a surgeon, if you're a specialist...
You need to talk to my wife.
Yes, I will. If you're a surgeon, if you're a specialist, if you're a pre-med student, if you're an accountant, if you're a project manager, if you're a teacher, whatever you may be, and you want to just come and help, we will find a way to put you to work. And you will be working. I will tell you that. You will be getting up early in the morning. You will be meeting, going to the setup clinic, and you will be working. And at the end of the day, you will be tired, I promise. But you'll have a smile on your face when you're tired. Imagine those two dichotomies, right? Tired and smile on your face. That's what you will have. And you will know that you made a difference. So just give us a call. If you have questions, obviously, I'd be happy to answer them.
That's terrific. Thank you. I'm going to do a commercial here. So the dates that we've selected for this year's MedAid trip to Armenia will be June 19th to the 29th. So anyone that's interested can reach out and we can get you the information and itinerary coming up relatively soon.
Amazing. Incredible to hear your perspective on the ground there, and you're helping out in any way you can. It's incredible to see, and I hope this inspires others listening to join your efforts.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Thank you so much, Dr. Daramirian. Our mission continues.
Thank you to all our listeners. We hope you have a good day.